This is the Cap and Haas Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Can we talk anymore about Victor Hedman and what he is doing? I mean, this is clearly his coming out party. And he sets that one up and then makes a big time goal or play on the winner. He was a monster out there tonight.
Welcome back, Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet. How good do you think Victor Hedman is among the pantheon of NHL defensemen? How good do you think Victor Hedman is?
I should get Eddie back on to see if he's top five or top ten. He's pretty good. I mean, he is dominating the series.
I mean, who are the best defensemen? Obviously, Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Drew Doughty, Victor Hedman. Who am I missing?
Weber.
Shea Weber. Suter,
yeah. Those are, you know, that's a good list. He's, put it this way, he's putting himself in that category with this series, because when you excel at a national, on a national stage like this, with the stakes as high as they are, that gets you instant respect. That enhances your respect and it enhances your reputation. And all those guys that we just mentioned off the top of our heads, this is going to be...
Oh, P.K. Subban.
Yeah,
Mike's in my ear going, we're missing somebody, yeah. P.K. Subban.
And, you know, that's what I think John Cooper was alluding to, is that, you know, next year at this time, when somebody's in a hockey city trying to come up with a list of elite defensemen, they think of Victor Hedman, and he's in that group. He's playing at that
number
level.
Number two overall pick. So, I mean, came in with a big
he's
rep.
He's young. How young is
24.
He? 24. Yeah, so he's young, so he hasn't been around long enough to establish that sort of rep. But you can see why everybody has raved about him before the series, because he's living up to the hype.
Well, let's grab some more calls before we talk to Sully. Bob is in Glendale Heights. Hey, Bobby, what's going on there, Governor?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave and Dave, how you doing? Hey, Mr. Kaplan, you kind of stole my thunder, but I was going to say the most important game for the Hawks would be Wednesday's game that they should win, being 2-2. We've been tested before. We've been through this before. With the adversity, and because of their records for 5, 6, and 7, they have an outstanding record. David Kaplan, you said it was 40-14.
Yeah.
And another comment I wanted to make was, Corey Crawford, to me, guys, when you pick goalies, is by how many championships. You guys had mentioned Quick. He's number one in my books. If Corey wins a second one, he's number two. The guy in Boston's number three. You guys are naming guys that never won championships. It's like in football with quarterbacks. You judge it by how many championships they've won.
Telling me Dan Marino wasn't a great quarterback because he never won. Henrik Lundqvist isn't an elite great goalie because he's never won.
He's
I don't buy
Marino.
That.
I didn't say he wasn't great, but I'm saying Corey is better because if he wins the second championship, he's like, who's got two? Quick? You telling me Quick is not there? Okay, come on, Cap. You judge him. You say by championships, you have to have a goalie. But what Lundqvist did, nothing.
Bob, what I think you're saying is that from a practical standpoint, if Corey Crawford wins a second cup, he's going to be very difficult to unload
Correct.
For Cap purposes the way that Cap wants to do that.
Correct. Right. Correct. You're
yeah.
right. And
right.
another comment I want to make is we should never got rid of Bufflin. That was the biggest mistake we ever did.
Bob didn't have the money, buddy. He had salary cap.
They could have created some, though. You know, they know how to do cap. They could have cut loose other guys because look at Bickle. You're correct.
Hey,
and I agree
Bob,
with David Haw. We're going to lose about 4 or 5 guys. Sharp's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Bufflin's not going to be
I
here.
I know.
Mystique. But I just wanted to make the comment about don't count the Blackhawks out.
Okay.
They're winners. They play under adversity and pressure. They've done it before. They will win Wednesday. And then, like David David Kaplan said, their record is, what, 40-14?
Yep.
For 5, 6, and 7? We're going to do it, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
see you
Bob.
There, Bobby. Have a good
right,
day,
thanks,
bud.
Guys.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day. See you.
Bob, by the way, the Bufflin thing, they did. Did he forget 2013? Okay, they got rid of Bufflin, but they still won a cup.
Correct.
Had to get rid of him at that point because that was a bigger crunch than they might be facing this summer.
That was the 2010?
Yeah.
Was the worst.
Yeah.
Brutal. 312-235-2525. Danny in Berwyn, Illinois. Danny, what's going on there, Slappy?
Hey, Danny.
Cap, how you guys going? Hey, I got a question. I was talking with my knucklehead friends last night watching the game.
Everybody's got knucklehead friends.
Oh, but mine are the best. And I wish I could have talked to Enzo. I was going to invite him to Berwyn for some soft serve. But anyways, what my question was, and I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. You know, watching the game, I'm wondering, is youth and hunger going to beat out age and experience? Because sometimes I think the Hawks are laying back on their heels and saying, you know what, we'll do it when we have to. We'll really do it. And then they do it when they have to. But you know what? One of these times, they're not going to be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat when their backs are against the wall. The odds are going to eventually go against you. You know, I just wonder if you guys see the same thing I got. You guys have been around the block more than me. You know, I've been a Hawk fan since I've been knee-high to the Grasshopper. My dad took me to my first game when I was a kid. My first vision was a Stan Mikita and Keith Magnuson fighting his rear end off, and it was the best. I've been a Hawks fan all my life, and I just wonder what you guys thought about that question.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate the call,
buddy.
Well, here's the thing. I think that when teams are as fast as the Lightning are, and I think that they have shown in three games that they're faster than the Blackhawks. Do you agree with that?
They're right there.
It's pretty close.
They're probably close.
I think they've played faster, a little bit faster. Teams that play fast look hungry. They look like they're getting to the pucks quicker. They look like they're doing everything quicker. They look like they have the desire that slower teams.
Well, it's like a team in baseball. If they don't get any hits, you go, they're flat. No, yeah. They just got beat by a pitcher that's hot.
At the same time, given that reality, I will say this. When you have a young team that doesn't really realize that they should be phased, they have a little bit of a swagger. And teams that are as confident as the Lightning and as skilled and speedy as they are, they get after it. And, you know, I got a couple similar emails and tweets after this morning and after the game. It looked like at times the Lightning wanted to win more than the Blackhawks. I don't know how you measure that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't know how you
Played well.
Quantifying that.
Tip your cap to them. They play a good team.
But Cap, the thing is, though, what he's getting at is that the Hawks' tendency to flip that switch, to flip it off sometimes after they score a goal and let somebody else score a goal within 2 minutes, which has happened 10 times in these playoffs, it does lend the question and it opens yourself up to the idea that they are up and down based on how interested and engaged they are.
You know what's
Whereas a young team like the Lightning, they're just on and they're perpetual
go mode
all the time.
You know what scares me? Hawks are down 2-1 in the series, and a guy who's sitting back there at the peninsula right now, chilling like a villain, could explode. Steven Stamkos.
He hasn't scored yet.
No, he's a sniper. He is as
good
a goal scorer.
Well, what about your chilling like a villain, Patrick Kane? He hasn't scored yet either.
He hasn't.
This Stanley Cup final, which is supposed to be superstar and superstar, this would be like the NBA Finals, Steph Curry and LeBron James.
Doing nothing, not scoring
in double figures.
Tristan Thompson is the star.
For the first three games. And all
Draymond
of a sudden,
Green.
Yeah. And the series being decided by those guys while the stars sit back. Because I know Stamkos has not been that offensive dominator that he has, you know, other times in the regular season, certainly not so much in the playoffs, but he had been coming on of late. Same with Kane. Stamkos versus Kane has been one big zero.
Yep. That's hockey, baby.
So hopefully somebody will get things rolling. Let's grab Rob in Naperville, and then I want to tell you what Bob Nightingale's reporting about how much the Cubs are paying. In fact, let me ask you to guess right now before you look. How much do you think the Cubs are paying?
Paying what?
Rafael Soriano.
Oh.
I just broke that news here.
You didn't break the news.
I didn't break it. Gordon did.
Okay. $5
million. $4.1 prorated for the season and another $4 million in incentives. $8
million. Has a history with Joe Maddon.
He does.
Has a history of being a pretty successful.
It kind of surprised me. I would never think a guy who it's June is still sitting out there would command that type of money.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, where does that place him on the – it does seem like a lot of money for a guy.
I would think then when your scout saw him, you saw a lot.
Yeah. You're paying him like he's going to be your closer.
Right. exactly what I was thinking.
The Cubs just signed their closer.
That's elite money.
No, it's not. Not
for a guy sitting there in June?
That's where we value what you have to offer money. I don't know if that's elite money. Elite money is you're paying a closer. What's David Robertson making? That's elite money.
What is he making? 10?
11.
11?
That's elite money. This is, we really like you, and you're not really going to be challenged for the job that we just signed you to do. You're paying him $4.5 million. He's not setting up.
Yeah, 4.1 and then another $4 million in incentives, says Bob Nightingale. Interesting. Hey, Robbie in Naperville. What's going on there, Sparky?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Kind of worried about the Hawks just because every single one of these games, it just seems like Tampa has more energy from the get-go. I totally expected last night, being at home, that the Hawks would come out with a lot more energy than they did. And, you know, both these games, I mean, they battle back, get the lead, and then they you know, blow the lead. And I don't know what is going on. I know Tampa's a good team. They're here for a reason. But, I mean, Sharp didn't do anything last night. Bickle, I only heard his name maybe twice, and one of them wasn't for a good thing. It was for a dumb penalty he took. And, you know, tomorrow they need to approach this game as a game 7, because if you go down 3-1, I know what they did in 2013. That was a different team. I think that was a much better team than the team they have this year. And, you know, they need to start playing with a lot more urgency and have a much better start to the game and not sit back. Bishop is not 100%, and they need to make him as uncomfortable as possible in that and make him have to move side to side, make him, you know, aggravate whatever's going on with him, make it bother him, make him be not so confident in net, put pressure on him, attack them. And I just, you know, see Tampa being more of the aggressor than the Hawks are. They did attack them in the first period for a sustained period, but then the second period, Tampa came out, and it was like the Hawks took the pedal off the gas after they got that push going. The power play, too, you know, they get some success on it, and then it's like after they get success, it regresses. They're looking for perfect passes and perfect shots.
Gotcha, Rob. Thanks, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Rob.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cheer up.
Yeah. There are people, just, I guess, as you
just
said.
Just sounds down.
There are people down today.
It's
freaking going to be 85 degrees and sunny in Chicago. Relax.
Okay.
5 Western Conference Finals in 7 years. 3 Stanley Cup Finals, 2 titles, and we're 2-1. It's not the first team to 2. It's the first team
to
4.
I think
what
they're dreading, Cap, what you're hearing is the anxiety anticipating the possibility that their season could be a total failure in your world.
It would be a failure if they don't win.
That's what they're anticipating. That's what they're worried about.
Well, relax.
So you're telling them to relax. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, just relax. Be fine.
I think that their concern is... it's not, you don't dismiss it. I think it's valid concern. That's a pretty good team.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in an app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up, 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. App.com, app pleasing people since 1936. Grab a quick timeout. Paul Sullivan, the one and only, joins us next.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
14 strikeouts, and indeed,
you know, any chance I can, you know, give those guys a rest down there in the pen, you want to. I mean, that's really the name of the game as a starter. I mean, throw every other stat out there you want, but, you know, pitching deep into games, regardless of anything else, I would say is probably number one. I try to just come in every day and do my job.
He was fantastic. I mean, even getting up there in the last inning of going out there, you know, there's just a different mentality with him when he gets late in the game now. He really wants to finish it off.
Christopher Sale, followed by his manager, Robin Ventura. Sale, Another outstanding outing last night. Sox beat the Astros. Two teams back at it again tonight at the U.S. Cellular Field. Cap and Hawk continues on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+. His name is Paul Sullivan. He is one of your brothers in journalism from the Chicago Tribune. He joins us now. Sully, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Sully.
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Good. We'll get to Chris Sale and the White Sox in just a second. We did have some news this morning that the Cubs signed Rafael Soriano to a minor league deal, $4.1 million prorated for the season, plus another $4 million in incentives. What do you think he adds to the club? Do you expect him to be a major force in that pen?
Well, obviously they're giving him that kind of money with the options, I assume, are games finishing options, closing options. So with Rondon losing his job just last week, I assume they're going to give him maybe 3-4 weeks, if that, in the minors, bring him up, give him a chance to close. You know, Joe's got a closer by committee thing going on right now, but you know, he is a veteran closer. He saved 40-something for Madden in Tampa in 2010. He's done the job before. Obviously, last year with the Washington, it didn't go so well, and he just fired his agent, Scott Boris, after they tried to hold up some teams in the offseason. And so, you know, it's interesting. We'll see how he is, but, you know, couldn't hurt.
Sully, the White Sox draft Carson Fulmer in the first round with the 8th pick, probably a guy considered by many the best college pitcher available this year. Second year in a row, they got the best college pitcher by some analysts, viewpoint. I think that you were just, according to your Twitter feed, on a conference call with Carson Fulmer. What were your impressions of a guy who sounds like he's quite a character? Where will he pitch in the World Series rotation, between Sale and Rodon, or will he be the third or fourth starter?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to look into that. But he's definitely seems like a good kid. We just got off the conference call with him. He was talking about how after Vanderbilt won that game in Champaign last night against the Illini, and he got drafted, like, you know, minutes after the game. Said the first thing they did was go out and find a Buffalo Wild Wings to go watch Chris Sale pitch. So he's into being with the White Sox. He said he's ready to come up soon. He hopes he could, make the fast track like Chris Sale and Carlos Rodon did with the Sox, and hopefully be up at the end of this year. He said he didn't really care if he was a starter or reliever, and obviously, starting out, he might be a reliever, but in the long run, I think the White Sox see him as a starter, and that should be a good foursome with Sale, Rodon, Quintana, and Carson in 2016, and hopefully Samardzija if he comes back.
Sully, when you look at the White Sox and they're mired in a little difficulty at the bottom of their division, do you still feel like they can get back in this thing, or – no, it is what it is.
The thing about the White Sox is to me, it's just so annoying that, they have the talent. And when you see a game like last night with Chris Sale pitching the way he does, and Quintana's had some great outings. We know Samardzija can pitch a lot better than he has. Robertson has been a real steal as a closer. They should be up there, but they're not. And it is a tough division, I know that. But, you figure the hitting's going to come around sooner or later, but it just hasn't. So I think they're really fortunate to be as close as they are. You know, even a few games under 500, they're definitely not out of contention yet, but as poorly as they've hit. But, you got to get Adam Eaton. He's got to start doing something. He has a good game every once in a while, but, you need your table setters. I like that they moved Melky down the batting order. He wasn't doing much. I don't know if Alexei is the answer, but, they don't have a lot of cards to play. They don't have guys in the minors that they can bring up and replace these veterans. So this is a sink or swim roster that they have. And, boy, you think with that talent and all the moves Rick Hahn made in the offseason that they can compete. So They've just got to get on a roll, and so far they haven't shown that they can do that.
Sully, what do you think the future holds for Jeff Samardzija, and how critical is the next month? Because I think when you look at the list of White Sox disappointments this year, he's on it, and he's near the top of it, because he's a guy,
the poster child for
it. He came in, and so much was expected, and you know, so much about Jeff Samardzija seems to be about reputation more than results, and I just wonder at what point do the White Sox look at this and they start to look at the calendar, they start to look at Samardzija. Where's this all headed?
Well, it's a good question, because that's going to be a big question for Rick Hahn at the end of, or in the start of July, probably, because that's when the trading period really starts off. And as we saw, Samardzija was traded early last year with Hamill to Oakland, and that Addison Russell deal, which turned out to be a great deal for the Cubs, especially getting Jason back as a free agent. But I mean, Rick's got to make the call. If he's not going to re-sign Samardzija, then, and the Sox aren't going to contend, then there's really no reason to keep him around. So I don't know what they're going to do. We've seen Samardzija last year was his best year. He had so many tough luck games with the Cubs where they didn't score a run for him. So you know he has the talent and the mentality to do it. Why he's not doing it this year, I'm really not sure. You know, he was their major acquisition last offseason, and you would think that they would hope to keep him, you know, Sox fan from, you know, Valpo close by. It's a great story, but it hasn't worked out so far. And you're right, he's got a few more starts to really, you know, wake up, and then Rick's got to make that decision.
Talking to Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune, let's move to the other side of town. Cubs are 5 games over .500. They're in second place, percentage points ahead of Pittsburgh. They're 6.5 back of a really good Cardinal team. Where do you see this thing headed this summer? Do you see them in the pennant chase the whole way, or nah, it's a little too fast?
Well, I think it kind of depends on the Cardinals. I think the Cubs are playing to where I thought they would be, you know, a little over .500 with Lester and Arrieta ahead in the rotation. That's a real good twosome right there. Chris Bryant has been everything is advertised. And Rizzo really, you know, has kind of been underplayed because of Bryant, but he's having an MVP year if the Cubs do make the playoffs. So I think they're doing what I expected. I didn't really think the Cardinals would be as good as they are right now, especially, you know, trading Shelby Miller and Adam Wainwright going down, you know, in the first couple weeks. You know, that is an amazing organization. All my Cardinal friends, and I went to Missouri, so I have a lot of them, and they're always whining about, oh, we can't hit and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, geez, you're like 20 games over .500 already. Why don't you just shut up and enjoy your winning and quit complaining? But, you know, that's kind of what Cardinal fans seem to do. So I don't know. I still think the Cardinals will win the division, but I do think the Cubs definitely could stay in contention for one of the two wild card spots. And, you know, it really, if they get a closer, if Soriano can be the old Soriano, then that would really help.
So, Sully, what'd you do to Teuvo Teravainen to make him ineffective in Game 3? Because you're filling in since you talked to him on Sunday, wrote that hockey story. Now, you know, he's not the same guy. It's a Sully jinx.
Yeah, Sully jinx. It always works. I wouldn't say talk to him since he barely said a word at the press conference. Taves and Kaner were doing all the talking, but boy, that was really a frustrating game last night. I do want to say one thing, though. Okay? So I heard you guys talking to Eddie a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And how great is Eddie Olczyk? The Hawks announcer, he's, you know, obviously Chicagoan, wants the Hawks to win. But when they made that call on Saad, that when he ran into Bishop in the crease and got the interference call, and everyone in the stadium was yelling BS, BS, he came right out and said that was a good penalty, good call. It was the right call, and, you know, so he's not doing any of the homer thing here. He's calling it like he sees it, and that's what you really expect out of a great hockey announcer, or a great announcer of any sport, really.
You're exactly right, Sully. And wasn't Eddie O on the 1994 Rangers team, which was the last time that you wrote a hockey story before Sunday?
That's correct.
Yeah, he was. Eddie O, Larmer, Keenan was the coach. Yeah, it's a funny story. I was rushed into action as the Hawks beat writer in the last couple months, and the Hawks made a quick exit in the playoffs, and they sent me to cover the Stanley Cup with the Rangers in Vancouver, and sure enough, the Rangers won. They ended the curse. I covered the White Sox in Houston when they ended the curse. I covered the Red Sox in St. Louis when they ended their curse. So really, there's only one curse left.
Yeah, we need to put you on the Cubs with you and Gonzo, both just double team them. Hey, Sully, before we let you go, got to ask you about the Cubs' draft pick, Ian Happ out of Cincinnati. They were not a great team, but he was their best player, conference player of the year in the American Athletic Conference. Many people thought the Cubs would go pitching. Again, they go for a bat. What did you think?
I think this is a good philosophy. I think they can get pitching on the market, and it's harder to get a great hitter, and they got one of the best ones in the draft that was available. Just talking to Jason, all of us on the conference call, he said he's, you know, doesn't have the great power of a Bryant or a Schwarber, but he's going to hit for average, and, you know, he'll, you know, run into 15 or so home runs a year. I think it was a really good pick. You know, it would be nice for them to get a stud like a Rodon or a Fulmer or a Chris Sale, but I think they're going to pay for those kind of guys, and I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit fell out of it if they put David Price up for sale and Cubs could go after him.
Ooh, you just buried the lead, Sully. That's interesting. You think the Cubs could be in the David Price?
Something for Detroit to fall out. I mean, they're still in it. Obviously, they got off to a great start, but they're fading fast.
But if they're not going to re-sign him, they want to get something for him.
Definitely. And if the Cubs wanted to sign him next year, what better way than to have him experience this Wrigley Field thing while it's in its bloom right now? I mean, we all know that the Cubs right now, this year, is probably the most excitement they've created since 08. And whether they win or not, it's definitely happening out there. And it would be pretty cool to see David Price as part of that.
That'd be sick.
That would be really interesting.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I'm not saying it's happening, but I'm just saying.
Now, Cap's going to Cap's gonna quote you now on Sports Talk Live saying Paul Sullivan is saying
that
David Price
Sullivan.
Is coming.
He says yeah. David Price is in yeah, a
you know that
SUV
works.
On his way now.
Did you see him on the you guys probably didn't see the Illini Vandy game last night.
No, but
did
I heard he was there. I heard he was with the Vanderbilt team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was on the ESPN on the telecast. Really a great guy if you've ever interviewed him. Just he reminds me a lot of John Lester. Just would be a superb guy to have in your clubhouse.
All right, we'll see what happens. Both teams trying to make this a fun summer. Sox got to get it rolling a little. Cubs got to hang in there. So, Sully, appreciate the knowledge, buddy.
Thanks, Sully.
Thanks, guys.
See you, pal. There he is, the great Paul Sullivan.
Good stuff all the way around.
I love Sully.
Little speculation.
About that.
Information. Good stuff.
Information, opinion, and speculation.
Hockey, baseball, whatever you want. He's got.
He's there for you.
Tripster.
312-235-2525. You say that with such pride. Tripster.
Well, I'm proud to have him as a colleague.
There you go.
He's Sully.
312-235-2525. We'll get some page two in before we get out of here
today. I say
nice
things about you when you're not around.
You do?
Yeah, just not when you're around.
Take a time out. We'll come right back. It's Cap'n Hawk.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
Welcome back to Cap'n Haw. 11:34 and 4 seconds.
About time reading the clock?
I was looking for the clock and I'm like, whoa. Saw a bunch of buttons.
Tuesday.
There. Anyway, it's
Tuesday.
Yeah. 312-235-2525. Again, don't forget, Sports Talk Live I'll have for you at 5 today. And then Holly and I will have Cubs postgame tonight after Cubs and Tigers.
So the Cubs also drafted a player in the second round that created quite a little bit more of a buzz, mm-hmm. but he had some first round. I know we don't talk about the major league or the amateur baseball draft, the way that we break down the
NFL. Well, certainly not the later
rounds.
Correct.
Well, but the first couple rounds, and it was last night. But, you know, the Cubs in the first round draft Ian Happ.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second round, or in the first round, the Sox get your guy Carson Fulmer.
Correct.
But the Cubs' second round pick,
Donnie DeWeese from North Florida,
has some upside that apparently he had some first round. They talked about some him taking being taken in the first round, has some skills. Sounds like the Cubs are stockpiling offensive talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seems like longer, but just a year ago, Kyle Schwarber was drafted, and now we're talking about him coming up to the major leagues.
Although Jason McLeod whizzed all over that last night.
What did he say? Because
he
I was preoccupied.
All we want him to do is focus on what he's doing at Tennessee. We've had no discussions about bringing him up.
Where does it come from then?
Speculation. That's just what you newspaper people do.
Oh, that's what we do. Just the newspaper people, not you internet columnists.
No, not at all.
No. Yeah, Donnie DeWeese, North Florida, 47th pick overall. He's got some good numbers. You wonder, have our expectations changed in the draft because of guys like Rodon and Bryant? 2 years ago, Cap, think about this. 2 years ago.
They were playing in college.
No. 2 years ago, the Cubs drafted Chris Bryant.
Right, but he was a college player. Correct.
And now you're Chris Bryant seems like he's been around for a long time.
Correct.
He's already making an impact. He's making this Cub team better.
Carlos Rodon was a college pitcher last spring.
In the College World Series.
Correct.
Or in the college tournament.
Correct.
He didn't get to the World Series, but you know what I mean.
And North Carolina State.
Carson Fulmer will be pitching in the College World Series, correct?
Vandy's in.
Yeah, Vandy's in. So this guy could be going from who was the pitcher that did it last year? From the College
Brandon
World
Finnegan.
Yeah, Finnegan. He could pull a Brandon Finnegan. College World Series and then the Major League World Series.
Be the second guy ever.
That's asking Sully. Does he pitch before or after Rodon in that rotation?
Well, if he comes up this year, he comes up as a reliever.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I know that.
But I think there's a chance.
That he could come up this year?
Yeah.
Well, Rodon, by many accounts, was ready. I mean, you have seen it happen.
The White Sox, that's how they got Sale to agree to a lower number. We'll get you to the big leagues quicker.
And it took him 3 months. And look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
Is he – I think I saw Swirsk tweet this. Now that he's got some – he's watching the White Sox games and not announcing them. I think he called Chris Sale the most unappreciated athlete in Chicago.
He's pretty damn appreciated, man.
Well, I don't know. How many people were there to watch him last night? I know that there was a Stanley Cup final.
You know
going
who
on.
I'd say is the most unappreciated athlete in Chicago?
It'd probably be a Cub.
No.
It would probably be somebody who, I don't know. Who is?
Be a tie for me between Jimmy Butler.
No.
Matt Forte. What are you laughing at?
Oh, you trying to throw public opinion in Matt Forte's direction.
I'm just being
after
honest.
A little tiff.
I'm being honest.
The journalist versus Forte.
Being honest.
Are you a journalist? Yes, I am.
Matt Forte is a stud, and Matt Forte is not even in the top 100 players on the latest list. Unappreciated.
I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I think Chris Sale does his job at a higher level than either of those two. You said Forte and who else?
Buckets, Jimmy Buckets.
See, I've already forgotten. I don't appreciate Jimmy Buckets. I think that Chris Sale does his job at a higher level than either of those two and gets less recognition. You think that, I mean, Matt Forte's got a pretty high profile.
So does Chris Sale.
Yeah.
He was one of the candidates for the Cy Young.
I think that he goes about it pretty quietly. I think
it's
everything.
Not like he's Tsuyoshi Wada here. He's Chris flipping Sale.
I know. I just think he's not as appreciated as a guy as dominant as he has been.
If you wrote down a list of the top 10 pitchers, Chris Sale's on any list. Matt Forte, not so much.
No, they're both top 10 guys, most people's minds. I think that the hoopla, when we talk about appreciated, we're talking about kind
what
of.
What do you mean most people's minds? CBS just put out the top 100 players. Matt Forte's nowhere to be found. Pernell McPhee is our best player, according to them.
You're looking at one guy's list. That's a ridiculous list. That was a ridiculous criteria they used. It was a bad effort. I just think that overlooked. Chris Sale's overlooked. Otherwise, he wouldn't be pitching in front of 12,000 people, 20,000 people. The K zone would be all over the place. This guy's rare, special, dominant.
I agree.
Butler, good, most improved. He's honored, recognized. Forte, we've said this. He's one of the top six backs in the NFL. He's pretty well appreciated when it comes to payday.
Getting paid? So is Chris Sale.
No, Chris Sale's got the most affordable, team-friendly contract in Major League Baseball.
What did they have to his head that's making him sign that?
I didn't say that. That's not part of the equation. That wasn't part of the discussion. I said that he has the most team-friendly contract in baseball.
And you say Matt Forte is one of the top six backs in football?
Yeah. Probably sixth.
Mike, you agree with that?
Yeah, he's definitely. He agrees
with
me.
What, a top six?
Yeah.
Oh, no question. It makes too much sense, and he gets paid that way, and he's
appreciated.
He's very much appreciated.
Matt Forte appreciates him, Matt Forte.
Sure does. Appreciates a journalist like you too, Kev.
There's no question about it.
He makes $8 million a year. He makes more than Chris Sale. Think about that one. Jimmy Butler's going to make more than both of them in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Jimmy Butler's going to make more than both of them combined in about 3 weeks.
Go to work. Go to work, Jimmy.
I already miss you, Thibs.
Here are the top backs for me in the league. Peterson. LeSean McCoy. Jamal Charles. Marshawn Lynch. DeMarco Murray. Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy?
Eddie Lacy's way up on the top 100.
Lacy.
Yes.
You're starting a team tomorrow, and you'd rather have Eddie Lacy than Matt Forte.
I'd have to look at the numbers.
Stick to baseball, champ.
Well, champ, CBS seems to agree with me.
Oh, well, if CBS said it, it must be true. Oh, CBS said it, it must be true. Is Boomer and Carton on that?
How about Le'Veon
Bell? Is
that
Boomer and Carton's list?
How about Le'Veon Bell?
Big Capel?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell?
No. Give me a break, Cap.
He ran for second most yards in the league.
Are you talking about accomplishment or potential?
Le'Veon Bell ran almost 300 carries for 1,361 and averaged 4.7. Are you kidding me?
I'd rather have Matt Forte.
How about Arian Foster?
A lot of miles.
Who cares?
A lot of miles in those tires.
Matt Forte, 12th best rusher last year in the league. 266
He was on
carries.
A great team, too. The team was really good. And really, they used him
really
intelligently.
Arian Foster was on a bad team, too.
They really knew how to use Matt Forte last year. Come on, Cap.
DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Justin Forsett had a great year. There's a bunch of good backs out there, dude. I like Matt Forte. I just said he's the most
Justin Forsett?
I didn't say he's better than him. Relax in there, Sparky. Through you and your 150-pound frame, you can relax there, Junior. He's not – I just said he's the most underappreciated guy in Chicago sports. So – but I'm reading you the numbers. It's called doing a little research there, buddy. The numbers of what guys ran for, they're all ahead of Matt Forte. Okay there, Buckwheat? So
– I don't think Matt Forte is unappreciated, though. I think
he is. When a reputable organization like CBS doesn't have him in the top 100 players –
it's a huge oversight,
and they it's brought up in all the stuff there, and they don't believe he belongs there.
But I think what Chris Sale does on a more regular basis is overlooked more often than Matt Forte does.
Disagree. Chris Sale was like third in a Cy Young voting.
pretty quietly. He's a pretty quietly dominant.
Because nobody goes to their games.
Well, that's all related to the. I don't know how you can overlook that aspect of being unappreciated.
If he's pitching on any other team, he's going to get all that acclaim. It's just he's on a team that doesn't draw well. I think he gets more credit than Forte gets.
We will
disagree. Me personally. Wintrust loves a good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs, Sox, North Side, South Side, Blue, Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose, either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more at Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Be right back.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is Page Two.
Welcome back, Kevin Hawk, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Time for Page Two, things that you might not have heard about. They're very important, but they might not be at the start of our show, especially with so much Hawks going on. I'll start, all right?
Sure.
Shot clock in college basketball officially has been reduced to 30 seconds. Teams will also get one fewer timeout. Coaches can also no longer call a timeout when the ball is live. So if your player doesn't hear you, too bad. You like those?
I don't know about the shot clock. I think it, first thing that came to my mind when I saw that yesterday was that there's already a lot of bad shooting college teams. And I just wonder if this is going to make it worse. I think this probably discourages the development of motion offenses and passing, good passing teams and working for a good shot. I think this probably encourages more the isolation, pick and roll, the one-on-one players, rewards those guys. Also invites people to take quicker shots, which are typically worse shots. So if you are already concerned about the state of college basketball, and when you watch every March, what do you hear? Great drama, but bad execution, and boy, those guys can't shoot. This isn't going to help that, Cap.
I call so many games, and I keep thinking about this, and I'm complete agreement with you that you're going to have guys look up, 4 seconds on the shot clock.
They're not trained.
It's not J.R. Smith on a bailout shot, or LeBron, or Steph Curry, or Klay Thompson. This guy's playing at Youngstown State.
So they're taking fall-away, step-back threes with 3 seconds to go on the shot clock, rather than taking another dribble, making a bounce pass into the post, and watching a guy bank it off the glass. You can see this affecting shooting percentages in a negative way that I don't know that if that's the going to be the unintended consequence of all this.
Yeah, it's bad.
I just don't like it.
I don't either.
So, all right, we got to get some Illinois news because there's some good news and there's some bad news down in Champaign. Good news, bad news, bad news. The Illinois baseball team lost, was eliminated last night by Vandy, and who is, Carson Fulmer. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going on to the World Series. Congratulations to them. So the baseball team loses, but they have the local kid, Tyler J, goes number 6 to the Minnesota Twins. Congratulations to Tyler J. That's a great accomplishment. Bittersweet day for him.
From the South Suburbs.
Yes, from Lamont, and pitched for the Illini. They lost their game. His career ended, but then his second career, next phase, began a few hours later when he was picked by the Minnesota Twins. So the kid, I don't know if he grew up a White Sox fan. I didn't see that, but imagine if he did. Now he's going to play for the team he probably grew up cheering against when they were the Piranhas. So he's going to be a Twin up in Minnesota. So that is Tyler J's beginning of his major league career. Hope it's a long one. And then also in Champaign, another one of these stories. As Shannon Ryan reports this morning, New York Times reported yesterday.
She's all over this.
Former, and she covered the hockey game last night, too, by the way. A former Illinois soccer player is suing Illinois, the latest in a string of athletes making accusations against the school's athletic programs for mistreating injuries. KC Conine is claiming the school mishandled her concussion and ruined her career after the team ignored guidelines. And there's a story in here about how she played 65 minutes in a double overtime game. She left the field feeling nauseous. Bad look for Mike Thomas and the athletic department. Bad look for the university. It's been a bad month.
Bad month.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal freely admitted recently that he used to adjust the inflation in game balls during the Lakers' early 2000 title runs to make them more comfortable for him. By ESPN.com.
I love this story.
Sometimes in the games during all my championship runs, if a ball was too hard, I'd let air out. I'd have a needle, or a friend of mine would have a needle, and I would get the game ball. I needed that extra grip, but I wasn't doing that for cheating purposes. I just needed the extra grip for my hand so I could palm it, a la Michael Jordan, the way he used to palm it.
It's great. Honesty, Shaq's hilarious.
He's the best.
Either you love him or you hate him. I don't have any problem with him. A lot of people don't appreciate, but you know, he's honest. And so, does that taint anything that he accomplished?
No, I don't think they have rules like that in the NBA.
They don't. So he didn't manipulate the rules, try to circumvent anything.
Correct.
So it's one of those things that, I think more power to Shaq. Okay, so we were going to talk about this earlier, finally get to it, close with Hope Solo.
Yeah.
How in the world is she still
playing?
Playing, competing, representing her country out there as, you know, somebody who, with what she is alleged to have done, this is bothersome, troublesome, disturbing. If she were an NFL player, she would be sidelined.
Done for the year.
Suspended forever. Yeah. Indefinitely.
Arguably, what she did is way worse than Adrian Peterson. Way worse.
That's a debate for another day, but I think we can both agree that it's pretty bad.
Bad. And she's got her nephew down banging his head on the concrete. The mother comes running over to pull her off, and she starts punching her in the face. Gets arrested for domestic violence. What did she do? Oh, insulted the cops, yeah. They had her cuffed and she was screaming at him.
Belligerent.
Yeah.
And yet this is somebody who is now competing in the Women's World Cup, correct?
It's brutal.
And representing our country after having been accused of that. And I don't know how there isn't more of an outcry, how there isn't more outrage at times, because what the police report, I think it was Outside the Lines revealed a lot of this in the past several days or week. It's awful. So
bad
I just don't
stuff.
Understand how this all, I think there could be a double standard in play here. And it's just, she should not probably be out there wearing USA, USA.
Agreed. So. Agreed. We'll see what happens. But there should be more outrage.
Or
naturally.
Attention.
Or attention.
Yeah. She's the most overappreciated athlete out there. How's that?
There you go. All right. We're back tomorrow.
Yep.
And then you'll be on Sports Talk Live tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
With me. 5 o'clock.
From
the
United
Center.
Game 4.
In advance of Game 4 for the Blackhawks.
And we'll talk a little NBA
Tampa
tomorrow.
Tampa Bay Lightning. And we'll talk some NBA tomorrow. Yeah. And we'll get some baseball and see what happens. Cubs and Tigers tonight. White Sox and Astros. For D-Haw, I'm Cap. See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.